Okay, this is the start of our special time this morning, and we're going to have the 4- and 5-year-olds come up, and I want to introduce them to you. All right, and then come right on up. Okay. You know, I think of all of God's creation, young children got to be at the top. Just they've got to be at the top of God's finest work. I love the way they talk. I love the way they dress themselves. I know they can be a little challenging at times, but anyway. Okay, so we're going to how much time do I have to do this? I can be like an Art Linkletter and we can make this really entertaining. Let me move this so that everybody can see. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you your name. So hopefully you remember what your name is and how old you are. And I know some of you already told us. So let's don't tell anyone else until it's your turn. Okay. And then I'm going to ask you, maybe what you like about coming to church. Okay. We'll see how that goes. So we'll start off here with you. Can you tell us your name?
Ethan.
And what's your last name?
Charles.
Ethan Heck. Is that right? And how old are you, Ethan?
4.
4 years old. Very good. And do you like coming to church?
Yes.
You do. And what do you like doing at church?
Playing.
I know one thing he likes to do. He likes to go downstairs and run and throw balls and shoot baskets and run around and around. A church is really a cool building for kids this age. Okay, very good, Ethan. Oh, I'm so glad to see you here. I didn't know if you was going to be here this morning. What's your name?
Ava.
Ava. Okay, and how old are you, Ava?
5.
You're 5 years old. Okay. And is your mom anywhere close?
Yes.
Where is she? Ding. Oh, she's right there. Very good. Okay. What do you like about church? Do you like the Sunday school classes?
Yes.
Very good. And you like, do you memorize some verses once in a while?
No.
No, not yet. Well, I know you memorize some short ones. I know you do that because I think I've heard you quote some. So very good.
Look, that's your brother.
That is your brother. And what's your name?
Emma.
And do you have a last name?
Emma Elaine Hoyer.
Hoyer. Very good. And how old are you, Emma?
4.
And what do you like about church?
To play.
To play? And who's your Sunday school teacher? Can you see? Is she here? Can you point her out to us?
I don't remember her name, though.
Is she close by?
Becky?
Becky. All right. Very good. Good. Now, do you have lots of energy?
Yes.
Very good. Okay. Let's see if we can move on over here. Let's see. You want to come on up here? And what is your name, young lady?
Arella.
Arella. I really like that name. And do you have a last name? You don't. Okay. Well, it's not maybe the easiest name to pronounce, but Figueroa? Very good. And how old are you, Arella?
4.
4. Do you like being 4 better than being 3?
No.
No. What do you like about church?
Playing.
Playing, yes. And I think I've seen her down running with these others, so that's very good. Okay. And what's your name, young lady?
Alexis.
And what's your last name?
Alexis Abbott Getz.
Alexis Getz. Very good. And how old are you, Alexis?
4.
You're 4. And you like coming here to the church?
Yes.
Very good. And what's your favorite animal?
A zebra.
A Zebra. Wow, I like those. They're pretty cool. Okay, let's move on over here. And what's your name?
My name is Josh.
Josh, and what's your last name?
My last name is Orban.
Orban. Okay, very good. And how old are you, Josh?
I'm 4 and a half.
4 and a half. Do you know what your birthday is? What date?
5.
You'll be 5.
5 on your next birthday? That's good. And what do you like about coming to church? Okay, very good. Why don't you come a little closer? I don't want you to fall off there. And what's your favorite animal?
I don't know.
You like lions? You like snakes? Yeah, I don't like snakes either. They're scary. Well, anyway, these are our 4 and 5 year olds. And again, we appreciate those who teach them. And I want you to be sure and pray for them. We have a really big responsibility here at the church to train them up in the way that God wants them trained. And their parents have an even bigger job. So anyway, thank you so much, children, for being up here. And we look forward to doing this again maybe in a year. You'll be a year older. All right. Very good. Let's see. Do we get to do this again? Our older children, kids, I shouldn't call them children, I guess. If you guys want to come up here, this is your opportunity to tell us your name and a little bit about yourself. Let's see. Why don't you go ahead and come over here, Vanessa. Come on this way. Everybody over this way. Okay, these are, it's expanded. That's good, though. We like lots of kids. Let's see. I know some of the ages of some of them, so instead of me trying to tell you what age range, we'll just let them each tell you how old they are. And why don't you give us your name and how old you are? Can you do that?
I'm Vanessa, and I am 8 years old.
And Vanessa, what do you like about church?
I like learning verses.
Quoting verses? Learning verses. Now, I was told earlier last week that you might have a verse you'd like to quote for us this morning. You want to do that?
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Very good. That's great. Well, thank you for that, sharing that. I don't like quoting verses, especially up on here. My mind just goes blank. But you did a great job. And what's your name?
Isaiah.
Isaiah. How old are you, Isaiah?
10.
And you've been coming to the church for a while. What do you like about church?
Sunday school.
Sunday school? Okay. Can you tell us something that you've studied in the last couple of months that you thought was kind of interesting?
Heaven.
Heaven. Very good. And we've all been doing that, too. I'm going to press my luck here. Can you tell me one thing that you really look forward to about heaven that's maybe different than here on earth?
That there's no sun or moon.
There isn't any sun or moon, and hopefully you all know why there isn't. We're not going to tell them, though, are we? Very good. Okay, what's your name?
Christian.
Christian, and how old are you?
13.
13, a teenager. Wow, how's it feel to be a teenager?
Like being 12.
Should I ask your parents that question? Yeah. Now, how long have you been coming to the Bible church?
Since I was 0.
Since you were 0, yes, that's a long time. That's like a whole lifetime, isn't it? Yeah. What do you like about the coming to church?
The Sunday dinners.
The Sunday dinners. Ah, there you go. What's your favorite pie?
Peach.
Peach. That's almost like apple. Very good. Let me come down this way. Okay. Tell us your name.
Vivian.
Vivian. And how old are you today?
11.
11.
And so what grade are you in?
6th.
6th grade. Has school started yet?
Yes.
It has started?
Mm-hmm.
When did it start?
The 11th.
The 11th.
Okay. And are you excited about school this year?
Kind of.
Okay. What do you like about coming to church?
Learning the verses.
Learning the verses. Okay, very good. Can you think of a verse that you've learned in the last couple? Just, you don't have to quote it, just a reference maybe. Did you learn John 3:16? You probably learned that a long time ago, right? You know any other verses you want to just tell us a reference to?
No.
Okay, very good. I like that. That's good. And what's your name, young lady?
Jewel.
Jewel. Do I know you?
You should.
I should. This is my granddaughter. Actually, my first teenage granddaughter. So that makes me feel... I know. Let's see. How old are you?
13.
13. Okay. And you've been coming to the church for a while, kind of off and on, but more on lately. And so what do you like about coming to this church?
The Sunday school.
The Sunday school.
Who's your teacher?
This is Ryan. Wait. Yeah. This is... Miss Ryan.
Mrs. Ryan, yes. Do you see, you know, you recognize her when you see her? Okay, I think, yeah, she's got several teachers, actually. Primetime Kids, there's a few there, and then the teaching lesson. All right, very good. Has school started?
Starts tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow, and you're really excited? Can hardly wait?
No.
Okay, it happens. Wow. How are you?
Good.
How old are you?
7 years old.
Seven years old. I kind of mixed the order up there, didn't I, on you? You're probably getting ready to tell us your name. What's your name?
Josiah.
Josiah. And how long have you been coming to the Bible Church, Josiah?
I don't really know.
Since about the beginning of the year, maybe? Something like that? Yeah. So what's your dad do for an occupation?
He's the pastor.
He's the pastor. Where's he pastor at?
This church.
Ah, that's right. He does. Very good. So what do you like about this church besides running around in the basement?
I like the Bible classes.
The Bible classes. Very good. Do you have lots of books? Do you ever get to read some of your dad's books? No, not yet. Okay, very good. And let me try and, can I get up here and kind of get out of the way so everybody can see. What's your name?
Jackson.
Jackson. And do you have a last name?
Heck.
Jackson Heck. Well, do you know this guy?
Yeah.
Ah, very good. And how old are you, Jackson?
9.
9 years old. And have you started school yet?
Yes.
Are you excited about that?
Mm-hmm.
You are. Cool. Cool. And what do you like about the Bible Church? I know that's a tough question.
Like
learning
about
what's in the Bible.
What's in the Bible?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's good. I like that. That's good. Okay. Look, we better hurry along here. What's your name?
Easton.
And do I know you? I think I do. I think this is another one of my grandkids. And how old are you, Easton?
9 and 3/4. I don't know.
Getting closer to 10, though, right? Yeah. All right. Very good. And so, I think I see you running around in the basement once in a while, and through the sanctuary, and throughout the church. What else do you like to do? Why do you like coming here to the church?
After the lunch, church.
Okay, so you like the lunches, but then there's some activity after the lunches. While everybody's cleaning up, you get to kind of freewheel around the church and check things out. Now, that is fun. All right, very good. And what's your name? Let's see, can you turn around? There we go. What's your name?
Aspen.
Aspen. And what does your papa call you?
Happy Appy.
Happy Appy, yeah. And because you're usually smiling all the time, aren't you? How old are you?
8.
8 years old. And have you started school yet?
No.
When do you start?
Thursday.
Thursday. Wow, you get a reprieve a little bit more. What do you like doing or coming? What's kind of special about the church, coming here to the church?
Reading the Bibles at Sunday school.
Ah, very good. Do you like the singing too?
Yeah.
I know, because I know you like to sing. Well, listen, we're glad to have all of you kids here. And again, you're very special to us and to God for sure. And again, I would encourage all of you to pray for them, pray for the church and their Sunday school classes. The church is actually starting up a new program, if I can use that word, for the kids that is going to start September, October. And so pray for that, and I think there's going to be some additional information given here in just a little later in the service about how you can get involved. So, again, thank you, kids. You can go with Mrs. Hedden, I believe, and don't fall off the platform. I want to just share some announcements real quick with you all, and then we'll... I think we do a break next. Is that right? Again, hopefully you all got a bulletin. In there is pretty much what's going on this week and the weeks to follow. I want to kind of point out a number of things, though. Wednesday, there is a missions meeting this Wednesday here at the church at 5:30. And it looks like the young adults... taking a group for an outing on Saturday. That's this Saturday, I think. You know, if you're all meeting here at the church, or you probably already got that figured out. Anyway, if you have any questions about that, you can ask Charles. Next Sunday, want to certainly have you be aware of this and prepare for this, is communion. We haven't had communion for, we try to do this about every other month. But it's been a while, so communion is going to be observed next Sunday, so give some special thought to that in preparation for that as you come and worship. Also, a reminder that August 30th is going to be the Jerry Daniels celebration service here at the church, so kind of plan on that. Should be a great time, and Max, I'm sure, is planning on being here. It'll be an opportunity for you to kind of greet him and encourage him. You'll also notice in the bulletin there's a number of thank yous and from various people. Also, some new addresses. June Hoskins has moved to Houston. Her address and contact information is in here. And Marietta, still with us. We're thankful that she is. But she's preparing to move also to Chicago here in a little bit. So you've got her information there as well. Just one last thing is we just did conclude our Heaven and Hell series here on Sunday morning. If you are in a 1A group, the Heaven series, video series with Chip Ingram is available to you. I think we have 3 copies of the video series. We're going to put those in the library. Probably need to have Dionette get those set in there yet so that you can check those out. But I know a lot of you... might have missed a Sunday service that Charles taught from the scriptures on, and maybe you missed a 1A group meeting, or maybe you weren't in the 1A group at all and you'd love to see this series. This is available for you to check out the video series on heaven, and then we have several ways that you can listen to Charles's teaching on the hell series. You can go to our website, WBC website. You can go to Sermon Audio. If you don't want to do any of those things, you can ask our audio video people if they would make a CD for you, and you could listen to it that way. So there's a variety of ways that you can access this information and this teaching, and I'd really encourage you to do that. So a number of you have asked about it, so we wanted to pass that on to you. So. I think that's it. Let's continue our service. Pardon? Oh, we're going to take a break. That was on the other side of my page. This is the time. Just take we call it halftime, I guess. Take a break, enjoy some company, and encourage one another, and we'll meet back in a little bit.
Well, what a great morning it's already been. Has this been fun or what? What a blessing. One of the things that we wanted to, or one of the things we've been praying for as far as this morning is concerned, and just trying to think through how we could highlight one of the ministries of our church, and raising children, raising kids is obviously starts in the home. There's no debate in that, and we weren't really necessarily looking to highlight that ministry that many parents and even grandparents have this morning. But something we don't often think about is how raising and teaching kids is not just a responsibility in the home. It's a responsibility of the church. God puts in His wisdom and providence children into our midst, as you've seen here, and many of them have been participating in the service already. And one of the things we wanted to do this morning is to just remind one another of this truth that we all have an opportunity to raise kids. I mean, whether you have kids of your own or not, whether you have kids and they're out of the home or not, everybody here this morning has a great, tremendous opportunity to influence children. And because you're here this morning, you've seen some of those faces already that are in your immediate sphere of influence. And so what I want to do in just the next 10 minutes or so, 10 or 15 minutes, is just draw your attention to two verses in Psalm 127. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to turn there. I want to read actually this psalm to you. And we're not going to look at the entire psalm together. I really just want to look at it again, as I said, just a few verses for you and remind ourselves of probably some things that you know, but that maybe just need to be refreshed on and encouraged by. But Psalm 127 is it's a psalm written by Solomon. Solomon, of course, is well known to us as more than just the son of David, but a man that possessed a wisdom unlike any other, and a man that wrote the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and contributed a lot of wisdom principle, wrote a lot about the family, wrote a lot about relationships, wrote a lot about friendship, wrote a lot about even life and the brevity of life, and just very, very practical man, probably the reason why he's viewed as the wisest of all. So Psalm 127 is unique because, as you might know, in the Psalms, most of these Psalms are written by men like David. Very few times do we come across something like this where you get somebody like Solomon who writes it. And so it does have a special importance. And he returns to talking and writing a theme that he writes about very often in Proverbs. And so Psalm chapter 127, I want to read it for you just real quickly. The psalm reads this way, beginning in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to us, beloved, sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is a man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. What I want you to observe, first of all, in this chapter are really, in the English, the first three words. Because the first three words of this psalm drive the entire theme and drive the entire point of what Solomon is trying to say. In the English, at least in my translation I just read for you, it's the three words, unless the Lord. And really, this opening point, it has everything to do with this truth, that regardless of what we do in life, and the examples we have here from Solomon are raising children, building a home, expanding your home, working, even sleeping, unless the Lord is at the center of all of that, it's all futile. It's all vain. It's pointless. See, as Christians, we have God as a focus of our worship, and we have God should be at the center of everything we do. And when He is at the center of how we raise kids, and at the center of how we parent, and at the center of how we work, and at the center of how we go about our response, when He's at the center of all those things, then nothing we do is in vain. It all has purpose. That's really what Solomon is trying to say. And I say that just to give you the context of verses 3-4, which is what we're going to look at. You need to keep that in mind, because when Solomon tells us in verse 3, and you can go ahead and look back down there, that children are a heritage from the Lord, keep that in mind. Even the great blessing and the great reward that children are, even your caring for them and loving on them and teaching them and nurturing them and playing with them, all of those things that we enjoy in life are vain activities, are futile activities, unless God is the focus of all of that. Keep that in mind, okay? So we're going to skip over the first two verses, as I said a few minutes ago, and I just really want to look at verses 3 and 4, and this is really, I think, going to be enough as far as our meditation is concerned this morning. Solomon says something that probably is an understatement in verse 3 when he says children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. I think if I were writing, and I'm not inspired, and I'm not going to say this is an improvement on the text, but if I had to write or summarize this, I'd probably say something like, children are awesome. They are cool. I mean, just to be able to watch what's already taken place this morning, I wasn't even thinking about that as an example, but seeing how easily they step into some of these roles of responsibility and are eager to serve and get up and go through interviews and sing in choirs. I mean, this is just a taste of what we mean. And really what Solomon is talking about is they're a heritage to us. I mean, in fact, actually the word there, heritage, just simply means an inheritance. They're a sweet inheritance to you and I. And you guys know this. I mean, you don't even have to have kids to know that children are wonderful. They're absolutely wonderful. They're a delight to be around. In my house, we have... You would not, if you had a week to maybe spend and observe in the heck home, one of the terms you would not use to describe life in our home is boring, because it's not boring in our house whatsoever. We have a lot of fun, and I wish I could say that's because Andrea and I are cool and fun. I don't know. Maybe we are, maybe we're not. But I guarantee you, the big reason why our home is so filled with joy is our kids, our three boys. And they get that excitement for life. They get that, as even Rick was reading this morning in Matthew 18, that humility, that sweet trust, all that comes from God. All that is a reward from Him. It's inheritance from Him. And so we have moments that are precious that you guys have in your own homes and have them with your grandkids or no. I mean, the every moment with them is a joy. And that's because God has given them to us. In fact, because Solomon says here they are a heritage, I would even say that children are a grace. In fact, maybe outside of conversion, maybe even outside of your spouse, there are probably no better examples of His grace to you and I than giving us children. They're sweet rewards. They are a sweet inheritance. Solomon, you know, would say that they are. In fact, he says this in verse 3. He says the fruit of the womb is a reward. Anything that it comes out of the womb is a reward from God. It's a great blessing. And again, go back to the context. Go back to the point of what Solomon's saying here in the overall chapter. If you, as a parent or as a grandparent or even as a member here who have children in your sphere of influence, if you approach any of those children without God at the center, without the desire to worship Him, you will probably see children as a curse. You'll probably see them as annoying. You'll probably see them as a nuisance. It's only those who truly delight after God that will, as Solomon says here, truly delight in them and see them as a reward. Now, here's where I want to focus, and that's really on verse 4. So verse 3 is kind of the truth here, okay? They're a reward, they're an inheritance, they're a sweet blessing, they're a grace to all of us. And then he uses this great illustration and really gets real practical with this. He uses the analogy of this: like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. He compares children to arrows. Now, that's kind of a weird analogy for us in our modern context. I mean, I don't know, that's probably even would make my top 10 lists of analogies for for children in today's day and age. But in Solomon's day, in the ancient Near East, this had a lot of meaning and a lot of power. And I want to draw your attention to why this is so significant. I'm going to catch myself up here. Well, that didn't turn out very well. Okay, there we go. I want to deal with this question real quick and just help you understand the analogy as best as you can. Because if children are going to be compared to something like arrows, we need to understand what Solomon means by that. When you think of an arrow, you think of a weapon, something that someone in the military might use as a weapon to fight an enemy. And that's true. But I want you to keep in mind that because Solomon has already told us that children are a grace and they're a reward, that he's using a positive theme here of what they contribute to our life. What he's not wanting to highlight here is something negative. He's not going to say, well, they're like arrows, they'll hurt you every time, or they're going to say piercing words and they're going to feel like they're... No, he's actually wanting to highlight something very positive about them by referring to them as arrows. And the first thing I will say to you is arrows are for protection, right? I mean, certainly they are protective devices that you might use if you're skilled at using a bow and arrow. And children are that way, too. I don't know if you've ever considered it that way, but they are really for our protection. You know, we often think of it the other way around. We think of us being responsible to protect them and nurture them and, you know, keep them away from the stranger and the boogeyman and protect them and all that. But children are actually meant for our protection as well. I've said a number of times that the two most sanctifying experiences you can have as a Christian are being married and having kids. And that's, I mean that in a very positive way. They help protect us in so many different ways. I mean, how many of you had the experience, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you had the experience where maybe you said something wrong or sinful in front of your child and your child said something like, Mommy, Daddy, why did you say this? Where does that come from? Well, it's one of God's ways of protecting us and curbing us from continuing in our foolish ways. And it's just one of the many ways that our kids can protect us, even as adults. I mean, many of us will reach an age where we're unable to take care of ourselves. And Lord willing, our kids will step in and care for us. They'll protect us. It's one of those great ministries that children have to their parents, protecting them, helping them care for themselves when they can't do so on their own. And Jesus used this analogy. I'm glad Rick read it in Matthew chapter 18, but Matthew chapter 18, Jesus uses a child as an analogy of salvation, that we come to him as those who are humble and those who are trusting and those who have that sweet, innocent trust. Solomon says they are like arrows. They're like protecting ones. They're like ones who have a sweet dependence on God, and they are here for our good. I mean, they're here for good is the point. But arrows are not just for protection, and children are not just protecting ones. But now we'll get into a little bit of the things that directly apply to what we can do. Just like an arrow, a child also needs to be carefully prepared and carefully shaped. I am not a bow and arrow expert, but I would assume if you went out with your bow and arrow and it was all roughly and old and not polished and maybe it's been collecting dust for, I don't know, 30 or 40 years and was not well maintained, you'd probably be able to fire that thing, but maybe not with the best of accuracy. Because you need to care for arrows. You need to shape them. And that is what one of the things Solomon is trying to say here. Like an arrow, this is a child. They also need to be prepared. They also need to be shaped just as an arrow would be. And we've read about this before in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Solomon told us that we have a responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go. To train him up. To prepare him, to shape him. We all have this great, great opportunity to do this. We have a wonderful opportunity to shape and direct and prepare our kids for what's to come. And there's a lot of things to come. You know this because many of us are experiencing those big things now. I mean, there are lots of major decisions our kids will make in their life. Everything from vocations that they'll choose to spend their lifetime with. Maybe college or maybe a spouse or maybe a big decision to move from one place to another. There are huge decisions in life that some of our kids are not even thinking about. But now we have the opportunity to prepare them and shape them so that when decision time comes, they're able to formulate those decisions. See, that starts now. That shaping starts now. And unfortunately, many people in our society, they feel like the way they're going to shape and direct their kids is by, statistics will tell you, letting their kids sit down in front of a television for 4 hours a day. That's not shaping. That's not protecting. That, in some ways, that's letting the world shape and prepare them. See, as Christians, we have an opportunity to shape them by not just instructing them now in the local church, but in our homes, every time we have an opportunity to have a conversation with them. I would just, you know, just simply encourage you. I mean, here at Double Wichita Bible Church, we have kids. You see them every Sunday. They're running around. They're having a great time. They're here after the service. They're here before the service. And you have plenty of opportunities to interact with them, befriend them, love on them, influence them. You know, ask them what they're excited about. Ask them what they're learning and help shape and prepare them. Even now, you can do that and I can do that. And I think even one of the ways you can prepare and help shape is by befriending parents with kids. I mean, there are plenty of parents here this morning that have young kids. Befriend them. One of the ways you can help shape kids is by helping shape parents, helping disciple them in many practical ways. Well, Solomon says they're like arrows. They need to be prepared and they need to be shaped. And like an arrow, they also need to be aimed. They need to be aimed and they need to be directed. They need to be shown a godly path versus an ungodly path. They need to be taught and instructed. You know, when you make foolish, sinful decisions, there will be consequences. And when you make righteous decisions that please God, there will be blessings. There will be rewards. They need to be directed. Now, I want to read to you just a few verses here that I know we know very well. And some of you might even be able to quote these verses. But I want to read them to you because very often when we read verses like Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, or Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, we look at them I'm as guilty as the next guy with this. We look at them kind of with the context of, well, this is how I relate and this is what I do as an adult to other adults. But I want you to pay attention to something in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at this. This is Moses. This is Moses talking to the entire camp of Israel. Okay? He's not saying, now listen up, parents. I have something for you. He's talking to everybody in Israel. He's talking to all of those who are in the wilderness. He's telling all of them, regardless of if they have kids or grandkids or they're single or they're teenage, he's talking to all of them saying, here's something you are responsible to do, you, all of you, you community of believers. He says, hear, Rizzi, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your might, and all your might. And these words I command you today, that they shall be on your heart. And these important truths about God, loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, those are the things you, community of believers, not just parents, all of you, community of believers, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Not just those by blood, but all children who are in your community. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. So in other words, every opportunity you get. Every opportunity you get, teach them, instruct them, prepare them, aim them. All of us, community of believers. Here's another verse that's not just for adults only. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Again, talking to a community of believers, let us consider. Let us think. Let us ponder. Let us plan how to stir one another up. You know, how to build up one another towards what? Love and good works. Again, speaking to a community of people, instructing us how to relate and minister to those in our community. Well, for our purposes this morning, that includes children. This includes all of them. This includes the ones up here that could barely remember how old they were and those who are 13 going on, you know, 18. This is all of us. To encourage one another and all the more, because as many as Hebrews chapter 10 says that don't do this. And we need to be faithful to this. As believers, we need to be faithful to aim and direct our kids. And then finally, just like arrows, kids are to be sent out with power. There's going to be a time in the near future for many of them where they'll graduate, they'll go off, they'll go on to what they, you know, might perceive and describe as the next phase of life and the next chapter. And when that happens, we got to be able to stand behind them as a church. And we ought to be able to send them out with encouragement, support, and giving and equipping them with every tool they need. See, this is not just something for mom and dad. This is something all of us get to do. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, there's kind of a really great philosophy of ministry that Paul shares with us in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, where he talks about our goal is to make every man complete. And every person who grows up in the context of the church, the goal is to bring that person to maturity. And for some of our kids, that's already started. That's already started. It's one of the reasons we exist even as a church. Well, then verse 5, you can just look at this real quickly. I love how Solomon ends this psalm. He tells us we have a great opportunity, a great responsibility, because children are a grace. They're like arrows. They need to be, you know, guided and protected and sent out with power and prepared. And then he says, and he just kind of, he ends where he, at least we started this morning. He says, blessed is the man, or happy is the man, who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. I mean, he'll be so overflowing with happiness and joy that God has allowed him to be part of the lives of children, that even at the gate, his enemies will be there and they'll be dumbfounded. they'll marvel. He won't even be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies. They'll have nothing on him because he is overwhelmed with the grace of God. Blessed is he whose quiver is filled with him. A quiver is a case for arrows. So building off the analogy that he just had, blessed is he who has the opportunity to be around. Now, you know, if you have one child, they're a blessing. If you have, you know, Ryan's have what, 6 kids, right? 6? Or if you, is that close enough? 7? 7, okay. One off. Or that, you know, that Arkansas family, 19, right? I mean, 1, 19, or 0 and have kids in your church, they are all blessings. In fact, the word here said, the word actually says blessed. It's actually plural in the original language, so it's blessings to the man. So multiple blessings, regardless of how many there are, and regardless of how many we have around us, and we've seen many of them here, the point is this, all of us are enriched by the grace of God because they're here. Whether you've acknowledged that or not, or whether you see that as an act of God's faithfulness or not, it's still true. We have examples of His grace every Sunday when we're here together, and we have an opportunity to direct them, to prepare them, to guide them, to empower them. And so part of the reason we wanted to have this day where we kind of highlight the children is not just to remind ourselves of these biblical responsibilities, because I'm pretty sure most of them are not new to all of us, but just call us together as a group, because this is a community project here. Raising kids is a community project in the local church. It's a church ministry. It's not something you just, you know, find a couple brave souls and you give them a few classrooms on the other side of the church and say, good luck, and here's some money, buy some curriculum, and we'll see you when they turn 18. I mean, children's ministry is and should be in a much broader practical context than just that. Now, Warren's going to come up here in a few minutes, and he's going to tell you about some very specific things you can do if you are at all interested in getting involved in a very practical way with the children's ministry. But let me just say this. Whether you sit in a classroom and help teach or tell stories or sub for teachers that are gone or plan activities, whether you do any of that, we all have the opportunity and I would say responsibility before God to be in children's ministry in one way or the other. And for some of you, that may mean that when you come across a child on a Sunday morning, you're helping guide them and aim them and direct them and shape them. And hopefully that's what some of you will do and some of us will do more faithfully, because they are a grace. They are a stewardship that we have. And I want to encourage you to consider that greatly. OK, so Warren's going to come up now. He's going to tell you about some practical things you can do and be praying about with our children's ministry. And then we'll close our service.
As has already been mentioned, there's going to be a new program that's going to be starting. Actually, the 1st of October is when this is going to be launched. And so between now and then, there's going to be further preparation and things going on. And I just want to tell you a little bit about how this is going to be put together and give you an idea of some of the different opportunities that you might be able to get involved with. So this, I hope, is just a miniaturized copy of the flyer that you have in your bulletin. And we'll talk a little more. Down at the bottom half of that are these different opportunities, and I'm going to give you a little highlight of each of these: storytellers, two different places for teachers, and snack coordinators. So, first of all, we'll talk about the storytellers. This program called the Praise Factory, an important part of the way this is set up. This is for the kindergarten to the sixth grade. An important part of this is a story that's being told to the kids. And again, this takes 15 minutes. It's going to be during the first part of our service, the time before the break. So people who choose to get involved with that will be able to be downstairs for the first 15 minutes and then be up here during the normal time for the rest of the singing and the sermon. We say at least three storytellers. I would envision a pool of 6 or 8 or 10 that we can draw from. And we would like to have both men and women. We would like to have a variety of ages, from younger people to some of the more elderly, depending on what that role is a person's going to be portraying. Let's see the next. Yeah, the texts and the outlines are provided for these stories. On the bottom line, I have there that stories are to be told, not read. They do provide you the transcript and an outline, but your job will be to go home and you rehearse it so that you can tell the story and tell it very well in an engaging way. It says costumes, props, and dramas. They would fully expect you to dress up in the age, the time of when that story takes place. Bring in props. One of the stories is about a street layer in London in the 1800s, a guy that laid cobblestones and repaired cobblestones. And one of the stories is about this man. And you could bring in stones and a brick mason's trowel, and you can, you know, come in, act it out, and you're not necessarily acting that person, but you're telling the story of that. But the more you can do to put people back into that time setting, the better it's going to be. Let's see what's, yeah. Each week, this is set up so that they're going to cover one topic for 3 weeks in a row, but from a different angle. And the storytellers, there'll be three different ones over those 3 weeks. One of those stories will be taken from the New Testament, run from the Old Testament, and the third week is what they call the story of the saints. The one I mentioned with the cobblestone layer is one of the story of the saints. It's actually a guy who was laying cobblestones outside the home of Charles Spurgeon, who was a preacher in London, and the air was filled with the colorful language of this brick layer or stone layer, and he could not focus on his Bible study and sermon preparation because of this guy going on. And the story is how he engages with him and how God answers prayer, and the man is converted. So, but they will take one story from each, 1 week old, 1 week new, and 1 week. And they really are very well done, the ones I've looked at so far. So anyone who has had any kind of experience with any kind of acting or drama, or would like to see if you'd be good at that. One thing I think we'll do is, if you think you're interested but you've never done it or you're not sure how it's going to look, feel free to drop in and watch the person who's doing it a time or two and see, get a feel for what it's really like and see if you think it's something that you could do. So that's what the storytellers are doing. Again, the first 15 minutes, That part's going to take place down in the Caraway Room, for those of you who know what that is. But there's a really cool set down there with buildings and backdrops and stuff. And so each week, one of the kids will go up and knock on a door, and there's going to be some character emerge from that door. It might be David as a shepherd boy. It might be a bricklayer from 18th century England. It might be a guy walking in the streets of Athens in the first century. It can be anything. So these kids, think what that's going to be like for these kids every week to look forward to see. They don't know what's going to happen, and they're going to go knock on the door, and somebody's going to emerge in costume with props and all of that. Should be really fun. So again, we want across an age spectrum and both men and women. So, and again, we would hope that it would be set up ahead of time where you would have probably 3, 4, 5, maybe longer weeks to prepare for that so you can really get it down well. Next, teachers. There's a couple opportunities there. The ones for the 4 and 5 year olds are just in need of a substitute to fill in from time to time, and that might only be 3 or 4 times in a year. But if you're gifted in teaching and like 4 and 5 year olds, then let us know about that. That would be an opportunity. The other one will be for this Praise Factory time. After the storytelling time is done, all the kids from kindergarten to sixth grade then are going to move and be divided into 2 groups, and there's more teaching and activities and the snacks that go on in those other times. Need 4 teachers, and we have 3 of them. We need 2 for the kindergarten to third grade and 2 for the 4th to 6th. We're missing 1 for the 4th to 6th grade. And it's set up so that you would be the one who is directing all the activities and taking the things from the story and making application for them in the kids' world. And so you would teach that one section for 3 weeks. And then the other person would alternate for 3 weeks. So you'd be 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off for that course. So again, if you think you're gifted in teaching and like that age group, then that would be an opportunity for you. And lastly, snack coordinators. This is, actually we want a couple people for this. This curriculum already has set up snacks that help to reinforce the lesson that's being taught that day. And I mentioned the cobblestone. They have a snack that looks like cobblestones that the kids will be eating. These are just some other examples in the first few weeks that I looked at, making little sheep faces and strawberry hearts, rams, horns. So the job of the coordinator would be to prepare all these, the snack for that week ahead of time. Most of the time it's just going to be a matter of preparing that, delivering it here. You can come here and prepare it, but have it all ready by Sunday morning, and then the teachers are the ones that will take it and go from there. So a couple of people, if you're service-oriented and would like to just be involved in preparing snacks, that's an opportunity. You know, we're going to be talking, starting our series in next week, on 1 Corinthians. One of the themes in 1 Corinthians is how God has designed the body and has gifted us in the body. And it's cool as I was thinking through this that there are so many different ways that people can get involved in ministering to the kids. And serving or teaching and in acting. And Charles has already mentioned the way that we can interact with the kids. So these are some opportunities for getting involved more directly downstairs during the program. And this will happen, again, the launch date is the first Sunday in October. So between now and then, the sooner the better that you could let people know if you're interested in this. There will be some orientation and training that will take place then between now and October 5th to get you all up to speed. On the bottom of that little flyer, it's got phone numbers there for my wife, Karen Ryan, and Lou Ann Spangler, who's out of town today. But you have phone numbers there, or in the directory, you should find email addresses for them. So if you have questions, anything about that, get a hold of one of them. Lastly, then, let me encourage you all to be praying for our youth, our children, and the people who are involved with that. Interesting verse here that I would like to challenge you with. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, "You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." Sometimes, and probably too often, we might think of prayer as being preparation for a ministry. And someone pointed out to me a long time ago that prayer really is ministry. It's not just something you do ahead of time to prepare for something that's going on, but God actually works. He can help others through our prayers. He can grant blessings to others through our prayers. So even if you're not directly involved in one of the activities downstairs, God can grant blessings to those people who are and to those children to whom they're ministering through our prayers. So again, if you have any questions about how to get involved with any of those areas, get a hold of one of those two ladies mentioned on the bottom of that flyer, or you can grab any of us that you've seen up front and we can point you to somebody too. Let me just pray. If you want to go ahead and stand, I'm going to pray and dismiss us this morning. Our Father, we do indeed thank you again for the gift that you've given of kids. And it really has been a fun reminder of the special place that kids hold in your heart and the special way that you minister to them and the special ways that they can minister to us. And thank you for this time. And we are excited and look forward in the coming months of the teaching that will be going on in the lives of these kids. And I do pray that you'd lay on the hearts those people who ought to be involved with this. And pray for all those involved in the coordinating and preparation, that everything would get done in a good order and a good time. And just pray for your rich blessing to be granted in the lives of these kids. So thank you for all the people involved and for these kids and for our time here this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Have a great week. We'll see you.